The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading for today, this reading out of John's gospel, is the story of Jesus coming to his disciples. And we go through this every year, but it takes place on two different Sundays. It takes place on that first Sunday of Easter. In that morning, some of the women had gone out to the grave to anoint Jesus' body with oils and perfumes, and they found the tomb empty. Jesus had risen from the dead. And even Peter and John had gone out there as well then too, according to one of the gospel stories, but they didn't see Jesus. The women hung around a little bit longer, and they actually saw Jesus. And some of these women had come back and reported to the disciples that they had seen Jesus. But the disciples, as we find in this story, are sitting in the upper room. They're probably their normal gathering place while in Jerusalem. But the doors were shut and they were locked for fear of the Jews. Now, really, I don't think there's no place, I don't think, in Scripture that says that the Jewish leaders were after the disciples at this point. Their whole plan, the Jewish leaders' plan, was that if we got rid of the leader, the rest of them would just scatter. The flock would be gone, and that would take care of it. But yet the disciples were there in fear. They were in fear and doubt. Again, women had gone. They had talked to Jesus. They had come back and reported to the disciples. The disciples didn't believe this. This is unbelievable. And so here they are, locked up in a room with their doubt. And they're not the only ones who were doubting. Luke has a different story, or an added addition to this story in his gospel on that first day. And it's that story of the walk to Emmaus. Two other disciples, not two of those 12, there were always other people who were following Jesus. He had his 12 that were with him just about all the time. But then there's many stories of of the women being around Jesus, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, and some of the other women then too that had been around Jesus. But there were also others who would be there on a regular basis. Sometimes they'd be there, sometimes they wouldn't. They weren't part of that inner circle of the 12, but there were always other people around him. And then too, as Jesus had done ministry, it affected the lives of many people, and many people came to believe as he healed people, or as he raised some of those from the dead, or as there were eyewitnesses to the miracles that he performed. Other people were starting to follow Jesus as well then too. So there was usually a crowd around Jesus wherever he went, and they would travel with him as well then too. So there were other followers, other disciples of Jesus, and they were walking from Jerusalem on that first evening or first afternoon and going back to Emmaus where another group of disciples were gathered. And they were discussing, we're going to hear this story next week as well too, but I wanted to touch on it. They were discussing these whole events that was happening in Jerusalem, and they didn't understand it. And Jesus appears among them and starts to walk with them. And Jesus asked them a few questions, and they mentioned that we had hoped that this was to be the Messiah. Those disciples, too, had lost some of their hope or some of their faith. They, too, were in doubt of the resurrection. And even at the time of ascension, when Jesus was rising up, going back up into heaven, ascending into heaven, Matthew's gospel said some doubted. Even some of those followers, even some of those disciples doubted this whole thing about Jesus. And here he was ascending up in heaven. But as we look at these stories as well then too, there is still faith. And so there's faith, but yet at the same time, there are doubts. For the fact that the disciples were still all together. They didn't scatter every which direction. Now on that first evening, Thomas isn't with them, but we don't know what Thomas was doing. Was he hiding out in some other place, or was he off running errands, or maybe he was at Emmaus talking to some of these other disciples? We don't know where Thomas was. But for the most part, they were still all gathered together. They were still in contact because many of these disciples would never have met one another without the ministry of Jesus. Nor would they have made a group together without the ministry of Jesus. And so they were still hanging out together, wondering, what do we do now? Which direction do we go? How can we carry forward? But at the same time, they were in there with doubt. They had forgotten who Jesus was. Even on this first day, they had forgotten who Jesus was. They forgot what Jesus could do. In the midst of impossibilities, Jesus still could do those things. They didn't recognize that Jesus, too, had a mission for them. But Jesus does appear to them. In the midst of their doubt, Jesus does come to them and he says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them the hands, his hands and his feet, his side, the wounds that he had from the cross. And they showed, he showed himself that he was alive, that he truly was resurrected. And they were filled with joy. I know a lot of times people do have doubts. Now, there are those people who doubt it completely, this whole story of Jesus. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. They do not believe that the resurrection happened. They don't believe just about anything that the Christians do believe. But there's many Christians, too, who have doubts. And I know from time to time, just about every Christian will have some doubts about Jesus and about God. And I do want to tell you, doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. Like for Thomas, we see Thomas here. You know, Thomas gets a pretty bad rap about being doubting Thomas. But I think Thomas just felt the same way that everybody else did. The difference with Thomas is that he vocalized it. He says, "I will not believe until I see it." And I think that's probably where all the other disciples were. Because this is an impossible thing. For somebody to rise up from the dead is an impossible thing. And so Thomas says, "I'll see it when I believe it." We all have our doubts from time to time. A lot of times it surrounds tragedies, maybe somebody getting very sick. "God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to this person? Why are you doing this to me? Or at the time of death, God, why did he have to die? God, why is my child not living anymore? And we have doubts about God. We ask God, why? Why did this happen? People are upset and angry with God. But again, I do want to say, doubts are not necessarily bad. As we look at these stories here, the story that we read today about the disciples in this upper room, and then also about the story of Emmaus, walk to Emmaus, it's doubt with faith. It's doubt with faith. It's a doubt that says, God, I really want to believe, but I just can't. This is beyond me. This is beyond my understanding. Whether it's the tragedy that you're going through, the pain or the hurt, the sickness, the disease, the trouble that you're going through, you want to believe, but you can't see how an all-loving God can allow this to happen. And so you have doubts. But yet you still want to believe. You still want to believe in a gracious God, a healing God, a forgiving God, a welcoming God. And so with that kind of doubt, you are open. And a lot of times that doubt will spur curiosity. It'll spur curiosity to want you to find faith once again, to be recognized once again, to be able to recognize God as your Lord and Savior. There are several things that we can do when we find ourselves in doubt. One thing is just to continue on doing what we have been doing in our faith. If in that story of the walk to Emmaus, it was something simple where the disciples finally recognized who Jesus was when their eyes were opened. They invited Jesus to come have supper with them. He took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to them. In those simple acts, that simple act of the table prayer before you eat, those simple things of doing that helps keep us in the faith, helps keep us going, and it alleviates doubts within our faith. Our very important thing is to come together as a Christian community, to continue to be with other Christian community on a regular basis. Because not everybody has doubts at the same time. There's somebody who might be at the peak of their joy, peak of their faith, that can help rejuvenate that joy of being a Christian, or can help have empathy that maybe they've gone through that same thing you're going through, that they're here to help. They are here to care, to be here in worship, to pray together, to sing hymns together, just to be in communication with each other, to be here to give thanks and worship to God. That helps to alleviate our doubts, that it is true to be surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, to be surrounded with all of our acquaintances and brothers and sisters in Christ. That helps to alleviate doubt and hurt and pain. Or as these disciples were huddled together in fear, they were still together. And that's the same with the disciples who were at Emmaus. They were still gathering together for worship. They were still gathering together as meals and for meetings in support of one another. We have our doubts from time to time. And it's amazing here, was able to use people even in the midst of their doubts, because these that were gathered here in this locked room in the dark, cowering from fears that they didn't even need to have, God was still able to use these people to spread his message, to become the leaders, to become the apostles of his church. Because without these people right here that we read about, these people who are doubting in fear, if it weren't for them, we would have no faith. We would have no faith at all. It would have died. Once they got rid of Jesus, it would have died. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In their doubt, they were open to that Holy Spirit. In that doubt, they were willing to learn and go. Once they received that Holy Spirit, once they received that recognition of who Jesus was, They were ready to go. They were filled with joy to go out and do. And they did. They went out and proclaimed Jesus Christ is risen from the dead throughout the whole world. Thomas's response here is wonderful. It's probably one of the strongest responses to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. When he sees those hands, this doubting Thomas, when he sees those hands and that wound in his side, he doesn't even have to touch them. He sees them, and that's all that he needs. And he says, "My Lord and my God." He believes wholeheartedly. All the doubt is wiped away. We come to worship. We give thanks. We give praise. We see each other. We lift each other up because we believe that Christ has risen. He has risen indeed. Amen.